so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Heavenly Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would come right now and release us of distraction. Release us, Lord God, of fears. Release us of the feeling of surrounded by drama, surrounded by mess. And God, open up our eyes to the reality and the understanding that, God, we are surrounded by your presence. God, we commit this time to you right now. And we ask for you to move, for you to speak into our lives, to minister to us, to encourage us. God, we ask for healings in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits. God, you're good. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. In just a moment, I'm going to introduce Pastor Wendy to preach. But let me tell you a couple of things real quick. We're really honored to have Pastor Benny and Pastor Wendy in our lives today. We're honored to have Pastor Wendy here to minister to us today. And I don't know if you know, have you ever heard people say, like, a psychologist needs a psychologist and a therapist needs a therapist, right? All that sort of gear. Well, pastors need pastors, right? And for Lauren and I, our pastors are Pastor Wendy and Pastor Benny Perez in the Vegas. And the only reason we have a healthy and a strong church is because that God has put healthy and strong leaders in our lives to minister to us and to pray for us and to protect us, amen? And so I want you to just give Pastor Wendy, our pastor, the great big welcome to Iowa that she deserves right here, right now. Just thank you, Pastor Wendy. Love you.
Thank you so much. You know what? I think before we're seated, that it would be very appropriate to say a huge thank you to an amazing couple that transplanted their family because they loved you so much. Come on, and they create week after week after week environments for us to reach God. Thank you, Pastor Jesse, Pastor Lauren. We love you so much. Amen. Hey, listen, before you're seated this morning, turn to somebody, say, man, you look so good. Have you lost weight? Thank you, worship team. Thank you so much. Guys, I literally say it every time, but everyone laughs. It doesn't matter. There's just something about someone saying that to you, isn't there? Just, I feel better. Amen. Well, good morning. Oh, I'm so happy to be here in Des Moines. Pastor Lauren was very nervous. She told me to bring a huge jacket, and I legitimately went and purchased a very large jacket. But guys, this is gorgeous. This is absolutely beautiful. What a gorgeous October. You live in such a beautiful city, flying in and just looking out and, of course, seeing all the green. You're a blessed people. Amen. So, so great to be here with you. All right, do you have your Bibles? Have your Bibles? Pastor Benny sends his hellos, and we both just love you so much. It feels like being at home when we're at Eternity Church. I just have to tell you, I just want you to know, because I did the last Fearless, well, one of the last Fearless events here with all the ladies. That was just incredible. The place was packed. I think it was a sold out night. And then I was here previous October. And I just want you to know just the level of expectation I feel when I walked in last night, and even just feeling it this morning, that God is up to something. You need to know you are an influential church, that you are changing the culture of this entire area. Everything that God, come on, has given for Eternity Church to do, you're going to complete it. I just feel you are on the precipice. Just like, it's just so much expectation in this house. And an encouragement to all of us sitting in this room today. It's never just for the church. The church is people. The church isn't the building, right? The church isn't a separate entity. You are the church. So that means that if Eternity Church is destined to be an influential agent of change, come on, in this area and across the nation, then you also are meant to be that influence and an agent for change in your own life as well. So be encouraged. You're in a good house. Put down roots. Grow. Come on. In this house. Raise those families in this house. Many generations to come. I think we're going to look back. History is literally being written as the church is continuing to grow here at Eternity Church. Love you guys so much. All right. Open up your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Have a great word for you, and I'm not usually one for titles. I'm a creative. Any other creatives in the house? Creatives in the house? Good. All right. They always say woo. How many type A's? Type A's in the house? Let me see. A couple woos. Good for you. The rest of you were like, here I am. Hands together, perfectly formed. I'm right here. Do you see? The creatives are like, woo! They don't even raise their hand. They just yell, you know? I'm a creative, and I'm not one for titles, not one for points. You know, it's just not my forte. But I do have a title because this one just happened to be from the Lord. So, you know, we should probably listen when he speaks. I don't know about you, but I just think that that's a good thing. So this is my title tonight. Say process, the light. Say it one more time. Say process, the light. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. And by the way, I just want you to know that you have one of the most incredible back of house in all of America. They are amazing. Come on, amazing sound. All of the lights, everything that they're running. You guys are incredible. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. This is the Apostle Paul. He is praying. He's kind of ending his introduction to the church in Ephesus. And this is a Gentile church. Jesus was Jewish. He came for the Jewish people. But aren't we glad that he didn't stop just with the Jewish people? So all of us, come on, can come into the family as well. So this is a great, amazing church. This is Gentile believers. They didn't grow up in the Jewish faith, but they have now come to understand who Jesus is and believe in him. So it's a brand new, beautiful baby church. So Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his Holy One. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. Because this is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Can I get an amen to God's word this morning? Amen and amen. Process the light. Say that one more time with me. Say process the light. Process the light. I love this passage. I love the Apostle Paul. I love this particular book of the Bible. And I kind of always feel like when I'm preaching, I'm always like, oh, this is my favorite verse. But this is one of my favorite books of the Bible for a couple of reasons. I love Ephesians because we get a lot of good things that help us when it comes to running a church. We get a lot of the great principles between authority or understanding, some of our even things that we ought to be doing as followers of Jesus. But even though he spends a great amount of time explaining what we ought to do, he spends just as much time in this book explaining how we first ought to be. It's so important that you and I understand before we start doing anything for Jesus that we understand how to first be with Jesus. The first thing that Jesus says when he calls the disciples, he's walking around the earth. He sees some fishermen down there fishing. He calls them. He says, come and be with me. I would submit to you that I think the motivation for doing is more important than the actual doing in and of itself. Because if we get these things out of order, now you and I, we live in an amazing nation. Aren't we glad? Aren't we grateful for living in the United States of America? I know I'm grateful. I know we can have difference in political opinions, right? I understand that we can have different outlooks. I know that we can agree to disagree. But all over the world, people love to come to the USA. They love to come because we have an amazing culture with things like the American dream, which is this thought that you can come from another nation that maybe is not as wealthy, and you can come to this nation and you can work hard, right? You can go to school, you can get that education, you can start that business, and then you can change the world, right? And which is a great culture to have. We're so, so thankful to live here in this nation where we can, right, have these great ideals, where we can work hard, we feel empowered to be able to change the world. But if we're not careful, as followers of Jesus, we can take a great culture that is in a nation and begin to apply it to a relationship with Jesus. But the problem is that our relationship with Jesus isn't in our national culture, but this is now a kingdom culture. And so for the rest of our lives, right, we understand that we have to work hard. We got to finish that education. Well, at least that's what I tell my children. Remember when you actually couldn't make a living playing video games? Oh, anyway, so, right, so we're always trying to tell her, you know, you got to go to college, or, you know, no, you got to, you know, you have to finish school. My youngest one, he's a leader. You know what I'm saying when I say? Okay, all right, you get it, all right. And he's a leader. And so the other day, he got in big trouble because we do a charter school, so they do most of their work at home, and then they have teachers both online and teachers that come to the house and kind of follow up with some of their work. And so one week, the teacher couldn't come to examine his work for the week, and every day I was asking him, did you finish your work? And one week he said, yes, I finished my work. And I don't know if it was like the Holy Spirit or mother's intuition or whatever, but I opened up the book, and I'm not joking, he had written nonsensical answers. He literally sat there all day long for 5 hours and just wrote nothing, just put letters and numbers and just filled everything in, and the video games were gone. I don't care, whoever is making millions of dollars on video games, you will finish school. Okay, so we understand, right? We have this idea, work hard. Work hard, and then you will achieve. And we kind of take some of that mindset, and then we bring it into the church. But unfortunately, what this is creating is an epidemic of disillusioned, frustrated, come on, irritated Christians that are like, hey, I didn't sign up for this. Wait a minute, I heard like you tithe and then the windows of heaven are open, and I've been tithing for like 2 weeks and the windows of heaven are tightly closed up, right? Wait a minute, you said to serve, you know, and I'll just feel this immense fulfillment. And so I signed up for the nursery. We all, yes, we love the nursery workers. We're so grateful for you corralling those little hellions. Sorry, can you say hellions in Iowa? Okay, good. Wait a minute, but this was prayer and fasting. This is, I am fasting and I am praying. And then when whatever we're praying for, whatever we're believing for doesn't happen in honestly the timetable that you and I think that it ought to happen in, we become disillusioned. And it's like, well, maybe, I mean, does this even work? Should I even be tithing? Well, wait, maybe this prayer and fasting doesn't even, you know, well, maybe this, all this Bible reading and I'm memorizing and it just doesn't seem like I'm overcoming. And we get really caught up in, right? Maybe those good works. So we get really caught up in our performance and expecting a certain result because of a performance or because of how much time and effort and energy we're putting into it, instead of seeing it as a relationship. And out of the overflow of my love, out of the overflow of my thankfulness, out of the overflow in the understanding and the continued greater understanding of everything that God has already done for me, and that he absolutely owes me nothing in this life because he's already given me everything that I need, including salvation. And I can't even imagine walking this life without him. And therefore, irregardless of the circumstances that I am facing, I'm still going to serve him. So it's incredibly important that we understand who we are in Christ before we begin to then, therefore, do what he has called us to do. The Apostle Paul understands this. He spends the first three chapters of Ephesians explaining to us who we are before he ever gets to the last three chapters and explaining what we do. Because it is so important that we do not get these things out of order in our lives. I love it that he is starting out this chapter and he's explaining to us, and even in verse 14, and I would encourage all of us to go home and just read through these first three chapters of Ephesians and just highlight them right in your Bible, or highlight them, you know, in your phone, and take some screenshots of them and just really hold on to them. In verse 14, he's talking about how we've been given all spiritual blessing. We've been given everything that we need. Anything that Jesus took upon the cross, you and I don't have to deal with anymore. And come on, and everything that he has given us, righteousness, love, peace, and joy, they've already been made available to you and I. Every sickness and disease, every lying symptom in our body was already taken care of on the cross, so that you and I now can begin to walk in that. But the reality is that you and I will still face, maybe it's a lying symptom in our body. Maybe it's some pain, maybe it's some discouragement, maybe it's a valley, maybe it's a misunderstanding, maybe it's something that you never thought would happen in your life, but now you're facing that circumstance. So how do you and I walk this journey with Jesus, understanding that he's already given us everything that we need? This is so important because I know I find myself even at times praying prayers for things that Jesus has already given me. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Just give me more love. No, he's already given you love. Jesus, would you just heal my body? No, he's already healed your body. So thank you, Lord, that you are now making a way for me to continue to walk out this healing in my body. Thank you, Jesus, that your love has been made available to me. So thank you, Jesus, that you are continually, you know, helping me to see your love in this situation. So we're in Ephesians, and here's the Apostle Paul, and he's praying. And I always find it so interesting because sometimes we just go right to the prayer. But of all the things that the Apostle Paul could write to this church, of all the prayers that he could pray over this church, he doesn't pray, you know, I really hope that y'all help out in the nursery ministry because it's a war zone up there. No. You know, I really hope that you just give a lot of money. We need, you know, we have lots of campuses in Ephesus that just need to happen. And we just really, really, really need, you know, everybody to just be giving. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't talk anything about doing. Of all the prayers that he could pray, this is what he prays. He says, I pray that the light of your imagination would be illuminated. I pray that you would be able to see with a different perspective. Vision takes two ingredients. Two ingredients. I know I said I have no points, but I have 2 points. Vision has two ingredients. You need both light and you need sight. Right? We can have the gift of sight. We can have the ability to see with our eyes, but if the lights are off, we're unable to see. all of us remember being, you know, the five-year-old, the six-year-old, the seven-year-old, of being afraid of the dark, and how our eyes would play tricks on us because we didn't have the full illumination of the room. And all of a sudden, something looked like a person crawling through the window, right? But it was just a balloon or, you know, whatever. And our eyes begin to play tricks on us because we need the light to fully illuminate so that we can see clearly. But at the same time, right, we also have the ability to see. And it doesn't matter, right, if you don't have that ability to see, whether or not the back of house has all these beautiful lights on, these beautiful blue lights, right? It doesn't matter if the house lights are up or if they're dim, because if we don't have the ability to see, the amount of light doesn't matter. We need both light and sight. And that's what the Apostle Paul is praying in this passage. He's asking that the eyes of our understanding would be illuminated so that we would understand the full revelation of what God is talking about. A while back, my kids and I were at Disneyland. Is there any Disneyland lovers here in the house today? I think that you are a type A and you just raised your hand just like that. I love that woman right there. I just love her. Usually it's us, you know, crazies that love Disneyland. And I will be that crazy lady that you see all decked out in Mickey Mouse, and she's like super old and she's at Disneyland by herself. I will be her. I see her around a lot. Often snap pictures of her just to remind myself of what I will look like. Anyway, I'm at California Adventure one time, and at California Adventure, you'll see it in the pictures often, and there is a huge Ferris wheel at California Adventure. Mickey's right in the middle, and it's always lit up, and it's right in front of the big lake where they do the World of Color, and it's really, really beautiful. And so my kids were younger, two of them were toddlers, BJ was maybe just a little bit older, and they talked me into going on this Ferris wheel. And I didn't quite understand then at the time as I was in line that there's two types of gondola on this Ferris wheel. There are the gondolas that you simply get on, and they go up and around, and you take beautiful Instagram photos of California Adventure and Disneyland, and then you end the ride. Then there are the gondolas from hell. And these gondolas swing side to side to side. They go up and they go around as they are swinging side to side. Well, my children get me on a swinging side to side gondola. When I get on this gondola and the door shuts, I realize in horror that there are no seats, there are no seat belts, there's just benches. And I get it. I understand intellectually that it would be very, 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 very bad for Disney business if someone went to heaven at Disneyland because their ride malfunctioned. But I thought for sure at any moment that door was just going to swing open and all of us were going to fall out of the swinging gondola. So as we are going, and as my kids, who are toddlers and about 7 years old, just think this is just so much fun, and so they are swinging the gondola, and of course, I'm being the wonderful, godly, kind, loving, and supportive mother that I am, saying, everybody shut up and sit down right now! And I am slowly but surely sinking lower and lower to the bottom of the gondola as the anxiety is rising, because obviously I do not know who I am in Christ. And so my anxiety and my fear is overwhelming me, and I'm getting closer and closer to the bottom, and the kids are laughing louder and swinging more. And I find myself not being able to utter a word. So in case you wonder what kind of church we are, I was down on the ground speaking in tongues. And here I am in the fetal position speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden I hear, ma'am. Ma'am. Ma'am, are you okay? And I look up to realize I'm at the bottom of the ride. There's the line waiting to get on the ride. I was speaking in tongues, so I hoped I looked foreign that day. So awkward. And I realized I was having fear and anxiety because of a circumstance I was going through but I was crippled with fear and closing my eyes. And isn't that just like sometimes when we face an insurmountable circumstance in our lives, that we tend to get more myopic in our viewpoints? We either hone in or zone in on the situation, or because of pain, we just continue to look more and more inward. And this is what the Apostle Paul is praying, saying, listen, this is life. There will be ups and there will be downs, and there will be victories and there will be some seeming defeats. You know, in a moment, there will be things that we maybe don't understand. But in all these things, I wish that you would be able to lift up your eyes so that God can begin to illuminate your imagination and light until you experience. And what are we meant to experience? Are you get ready? We're going to land this plane in just a few moments. Actually, the band should come up right now, because that'll make Pastor Jesse just breathe easy that I'm going to hit my marks this morning. So please come up, band. I'm just giving him a hard time. He's not really like that. He's amazing. You guys just laugh at anything. I was not, that was not facetious. That was, I pray that the God of light would illuminate your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation. I pray that he would begin to flood those dark circumstances, those dark times, with the light of understanding. And I pray that your perspective would change, that you would see the full revelation of the hope of his calling. Why is this wording so important in this verse? You and I all have a calling, but it's really not what it's talking about in this verse. What it's talking about is gaining a bigger perspective of his plan and understanding that each and every one of us are an integral part of the beautiful tapestry of grace that is the whole body of Christ from the beginning of time to the end of time, that we are an integral, beautiful part of the big picture. Because the bigger the picture, the greater the perspective, the greater the understanding. Come on, and all of a sudden my soul that was downcast, that was dark, that was discouraged, that was misunderstanding and disillusioned with this walk, because all I could see was my own little circumstance in front of me, gets a greater perspective that is bigger than you and me, that is bigger than our lifetime, that is a set up from the Most High God. The hope of his calling, understanding who we are, and the wealth of God's glorious inheritance, listen, that he finds in us. I want you to be encouraged today. You are God's inheritance. You. He set this up. He sent his son to earth to die because he had you in his mind's eye. He loves you so much. He is setting this up for you and for me. And then he continues on. Why? Why do we need this perspective? Why do we need this illumination? Because he prays that we will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Because our lives were meant to be an advertisement of this power. Our lives, you and me, our lives. Let me tell you what's not an advertisement, a perfect person. Let me tell you what isn't gonna help anyone, a perfect life. No one can relate to that. But yet we all strive to attain a level of perfection, like we got it all worked out, like our house is always perfectly clean, right? Perfect outfit, kids dressed right, perfect pictures, you know, Christmas card, everything just all looks perfect. But the reality is no one can relate to that. But I'm telling you,
when friends and families and co-workers and people that are around in your communities, and they understand that you've been walking through a difficult season or just a situation that seems beyond comprehension, and they walk through it normal, but in faith. Normal, but still loving people. Normal, but not disillusioned with Jesus. Normal. What does it say in the Bible? Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. You might face it and you might feel it, but you don't have to live in it. Every time you and I are facing one of those situations, those circumstances in our life, I want you to remember something. That over 2,000 years ago, God didn't just send his son to the earth. He didn't just die for our sins. But the immeasurable power that we're talking about in this verse, what the Apostle Paul is referencing, is the helper. Because Jesus didn't just die and he wasn't just buried, but on the third day, the Holy Spirit entered into that tomb. And though our Lord Jesus was laying there, his lifeless body was laying there at that moment, the Holy Spirit entered into that tomb and breathed life back into his body, and he was raised from the dead. And I want you to know today that that same Holy Spirit is alive and active in your life. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in you, and it is quickening your every single day, your every single breath, for your every single thought. He is there. He is the helper. He is everything that you need in your time of need. There is no darkness too great. There is no mountain too high. There is no valley too deep. Come on. He's there. He's there. He's there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you are giving us new perspectives. You are illuminating our understanding. So, Lord, that we would realize who we are in you. If you'd just be seated just for a moment, just in our closing moments, I want to pray for a group of people. You're here today. Someone bribed you. Someone got you here. Maybe someone promised you a good brunch after this. Maybe you've never been to church before and you never heard this story about a God that loves you so much that he would give his son in exchange and in replacement for you. This isn't an earn it, work for it type of religion. This is a receive it relationship. And he loves you so much. I want to pray for you. Or the second group of people in this same prayer. You've known Jesus, but you walked away. And lately you know that you haven't really been walking with him. And today you're just going to re-up. You're going to say, this is my time to say, from this day forward, I'm walking in that relationship with, maybe you're one of those disillusioned Christians I was talking about, where it seems like you did all the right things and you didn't get the result that you were looking for today. And God's just kind of renewing a different perspective in your heart and mind today. Those two groups of people, as you just bow your heads, just in our closing moments, I'm going to count to three, and when I say three, I just want you to shoot your hand up in the air. If you're in either of those two groups, you want to begin a relationship with Jesus, or today you're going to re-up that relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to do anything embarrassing. We'll just all pray this prayer together. If that's you, one, you know who you are. Please don't let this moment pass you by. Two, come on, Christians are praying because this is why we do what we do. Three, just shoot your hand up in the air right now. Thank you. There's one, there's two, there's three, there's four. That's so awesome. Come on, there's five. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Can we all say this prayer together? And there's nothing magic about raising your hand or not. The Bible says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. So if you want to just pray this prayer from your heart today, you can also begin that relationship with Jesus. Come on, church, let's say it all together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I turn and put my trust in Jesus Christ. I receive forgiveness of sins. I receive salvation. Holy Spirit, come on in. Change me from the inside out. I belong to God. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Can we say thank you to Jesus for those five people this morning? Come on. Come on, let's say thank you to Jesus.
Fantastic. Hey, let's just thank Pastor Wendy right now for bringing the word. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise in here. Come on, praise God for a second. Would you mind standing up with me? I tell you what, I just love it. Love it when Pastor Wendy brings the word at eternity. Come on, bring some of that Vegas to Iowa. Come on, Hellions. I've never heard that before. But I think I found a new word to describe my kids on a bad day. Anyway, so there's that. That's fantastic. Church, you know, we really are blessed. Just so blessed to have the caliber of people that come and minister at our church. Really, so blessed. This isn't normal that we would have access to such incredible ministers and teachers and preachers from around the world. And we need to be wise stewards. We need to honor that. Scripture says to honor each other and to especially honor those that bring the word. And I tell you what, it's hard to bring the word. It's hard to prepare a sermon. It's hard to get up on stage and do that every week. And we want to honor Pastor Wendy, her family, their church and ministry for bringing the word to Des Moines. Come on. To come to the cold place. Every time I go on an airplane, this week included, border security asks me every time. It's like it's suspicious that a foreigner would come to Des Moines. They're always like, why Des Moines? And I'm like, because of the Holy Ghost. That's why. So anyway. So I just want to say thank you to Pastor Wendy. And I'd love it if we could honor her by taking up an offering, honor her and her church. Her family for coming here and imparting that word into us. And so we'll do that. And just after the buckets go around in a moment, if you need prayer, come down the front for prayer. If you're in a dark situation, come down the front. Let's pray that God would illuminate your eyes to the wonder and the hope that you have in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That He would bring hope, He would bring healing, He would bring strength to whatever it is that you're going through today. So come on down the front for prayer. If you need a healing in your life, if you need a healing in your relationships or favor on a decision or an opportunity in your life, don't stand there wishing God would help when there's an altar call right now and people willing to pray for you for God's favor and God's touch on your life. Amen. And so let's be responsive to the call of God and to the moments where God is calling us to step out in faith and receive what He wants to do in our lives. So church, we're going to take up an offering now. You can write checks to Eternity Church and we'll pass that on to Pastor Wendy and their family. But right now, straight after that, after the buckets go by, come down the front for prayer. God bless you. We love you. You're amazing. Come on, praise the Lord right now. Come on.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.